welcome to my dojo. This is Drunken Fist Happy Hour, a special edition of Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I take the usual 30 minutes or less thing that I do here, and I toss it to the side. And instead, I grab a drink, grab a friend, and we let the conversation meander like Drunken Fist Kung Fu. I'm continuing the Going to the Arcade series I'm doing this year, and to help me with this one, brought a friend, obviously. We just said that was going to happen. She's one of the hosts over at Page and Pixel, and I bet you can't guess which one it would be on a video game-related episode. Pixel's here! Hello, Pixel! Welcome to the dojo!
Well, hey, Brandon. I don't think I've ever been in a dojo before.
I was going to ask, I like to ask people, if do you have, like, any martial art experience whatsoever?
So, my ex-husband was really into, for a while, like, doing the American Ninja Warrior training stuff. And so there was, like, a window of time where we were watching a lot of, like, Donnie Yen movies. And you know, going American Ninja Warrior taped live in Indianapolis a couple of years, so we were there, like, and they do it overnight, so we did that sort of situation.
Okay.
Directly, I was not allowed to do martial arts because I don't know. My parents thought it was unladylike, but fucking jokes on them.
Unladylike, yeah, because Cynthia Rothrock is not a real human being. Not a real woman being who did a ton of martial art movies in the 80s, and still, also, you're non-binary, so that plays a factor too. There's a layer.
My parents being wrong about things. That's not what this is about. We don't have time for that to be with us.
We might get there, though. We're gonna trauma a little bit here today. So, to get things started, before we get into all of the fun shenanigans stuff, Pixel, can you please enlighten everybody who hasn't listened to the show yet what Page and Pixel is all about?
Yeah, so Page and Pixel is a show with two friends named Page and Pixel, and we alternate weeks. One week, Page will explain a book to me that I haven't read, and it's not because I can't read. It's just, you know, they're not always my genre, and that's not where I put a lot of my time anymore. And then on alternating weeks, I will explain to Paige a video game that she has not played, and the other one of us cold reacts because we have no experience, and it's just an in real time reaction to a story that means a lot to one of us and is brand new to the other.
And listeners, if you want to check out the show, you should have by now.
Just seriously, what have you been doing? Where have you been? It's the hottest thing on all of the apps.
All of them. Even the ones you haven't heard of. If you want to check out Page and Pixel, there's a link for it in the description of this episode. Or you can really just save yourself some time. If you go on Spotify, and I think you can do this on Apple and Amazon podcasts as well, Anazao just has a page that you can follow that you get all of the episodes of all of the shows. So you can just stop listening to other things because we have like a dozen shows and we'll just keep you entertained. I think
we should institute a rule where if you want to listen to something outside of the network, you have to have listened to every in-network episode at least twice, and then you can venture out.
Yes, at least twice, especially newer shows like Page and Pixel. Maybe three times.
Maybe
just
three.
Just to kind of, you know, share the love a little bit. One more thing, a little bit of a disclaimer before we go any further. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about Silent Hill. We'll probably venture off a little bit into Resident Evil as well, but we're going to be talking a lot about Silent Hill today. And if you've never played Silent Hill, it's going to get heavy. I don't know how heavy. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But it's not Animal Crossing.
It certainly is not.
So this is a trigger warning. It could get heavy. There's all kinds of serious stuff that comes up in Silent Hill. Resident Evil is a whole different ballgame, though they're both part of the same video game genre. And hey, listeners, if you're more of a Resident Evil person and you're pissed that we're not going to be talking more about Resident Evil, I am planning on at least reviewing the original Resident Evil movie starring Mila Jovovich. I've never been confident.
Jovovich.
Is it Jovovich? I've never been confident.
That was my husband's, apparently, first boobs ever seen was Mila Jovovich's in The Fifth Element.
Oh.
Core memory.
Clearly a core memory. Glad he became a man that year. But I am planning on at least reviewing. Michelle Rodriguez is in that movie too, which I did not realize until yesterday when I looked it back up. I'm planning on doing that one like in October. So there will be more Resident Evil. I might do the Netflix series too, because it's pretty short, I think.
It's short, and it, you know, it was not picked up for another season, and it got a lot of hate. But personally, I thought it was kind of fun.
Okay. I did know it's not enjoyed, but it seems like people have been really stiff towards Resident Evil.
I think it's not enjoyed for not the best reasons. So the guy who was cast to play Wesker, who in game, blonde hair, blue eyed white guy, was Lance Rennick, who is Haitian. And I think he kills it.
Okay.
I love, and anything he does, I love it. Okay. But there are a lot of people like, that's how my Wesker looks like.
Oh, that, one of those.
With characters.
Yeah. One of those.
There might be other things, but I think that's the thing I saw most was
love
they're
that.
Taking our jobs.
They're taking our jobs. Yeah, because you were going to be cast into a Netflix show, dude, on Reddit. Like,
Lance Rennick is dead now, so just fucking get over it. Like, you won.
Yeah, really. Chill, bro. God. Look, I'm also really into superhero stuff, so, like, I hear it over there, too. It's like, come on, just, okay, just let it be. Just,
no.
Please. Anyway, so with all of that, let's get into the shenanigans. Pixel, would you mind blessing us with your slogan, with your catchphrase?
Let's rock this bitch.
All right, here we go. So what are you drinking today for the happy hour?
I am drinking this like fizzy dragon fruit Moscato sangria something situation from Cooper's Hawk.
Oh, okay, cool.
Very good.
You said dragon fruit. That's fancy.
It's super fancy. We're wine club members.
Love it.
We get two bottles of rum. Yeah.
I have only ever had, I think I've only ever had their Romance Red.
And that's good.
Yeah, it is good. I don't drink a lot of wine. I don't not like it. I just don't. That's just not my go-to.
I get it.
Yeah. Dragon fruit. I'll have to keep that in mind. I'm going to go for some pretentious ASMR with this. Ready?
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's not working at all. We'll do this instead. That was good.
Nice crack.
Yeah. So I have, I always like to get one, a beer that is like, makes sense with the topic.
Sure.
And I actually bought this before we even decided to do this. I was like, I'm just going to hold on to it. This is the Raccoon City Reserve Bio Organic Coconut. A lot of things from 450 North Brewing. They have a fun little like PlayStation, original PlayStation inspired logo on here. So it's a bourbon barrel aged stout.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so how do you like, are you excited?
I am excited because I used to drink those and then I stopped because I get too fucked up. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
So I love stouts. That's like my preferred style.
Sure.
I am not bougie enough to just drink IPAs all day. They just taste gross.
I agree.
Bourbon. I like bourbon too. I've got a bottle of Wild Turkey over there, I think. But the barrel aged stuff, either I love it or it's just like too much.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like Dragon's Milk is a pretty good.
Yes.
Like the like plain old normal Dragon's Milk is pretty good. A couple winters ago, Guinness had a mint barrel-aged Guinness, and that was too many things.
Yeah.
That was too many things. So it was literally like, okay, there's the bourbon, there's the mint, and there's the Guinness. And it was.
I don't really like mint. I know I'm like the outlier, but like I think mint chocolate chip ice cream tastes like eating like toothpaste with chocolate chips, and like I don't like minty things.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So that I know everyone thinks.
That is my see. That's why I got it because I love Guinness and I love mint.
Okay.
So I was like, this should work, and it did not. I'm also taking a chance here because based off of the flavor notes here on the side, coconut, cream of coconut, almond, and chocolate and vanilla flavors. Okay. So clearly kind of going for like an almond joy.
Double coconut and love an almond joy.
I hate coconut.
What the fuck are you doing?
I know.
Twice?
I know. I've had like pastry stouts usually have coconut in them and that works for me. But otherwise, like, I don't, it's the whole thing. It's the texture, the smell, the taste. Right now,
you're not going to get the texture, hopefully.
Hopefully, oh, that would be, that is quite unfiltered. That would be quite unfiltered. The smell is pretty good. Do you want to?
I do. Ooh, that's sort of like body good. Wash. That's nice.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, I'm definitely getting the coconut because mm-hmm. that's always what I can taste. But the barrel-aged part is actually really, really smooth.
Good.
Like that.
Good.
Definitely getting the almond, too. Hopefully, I will finish this. I want to get through it, even if I don't like the coconut. Like,
push yourself.
Plus, as you can see, how much I paid for it. For one can. One can. Yeah, I know.
You're paying for the passion.
I know. You hail from the state, I don't know if you would use the word great state, but you hail from the state of Pennsylvania.
I would use the word
great. You would
state.
Use the word great?
I would.
Okay. Yingling just flows freely there, correctly?
Absolutely. If you overturn a big enough rock, you're just going to get a geyser of Yingling.
I love that. Yingling and Sam Adams deserves their own category. They're not dad beers, and they're not craft. Although they do.
They're a good point. Yes, they don't taste like piss water like some dad beers do. But they're not like too tasty if you just want something to wash your hot dog down. They're
right.
A good mid. No, I agree. That's
yeah. I don't know what that would be. They're a Midwest beer. Like I guess Sam Adams would not be.
That's a Boston.
That's Boston.
Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
You know, none of them are. Yeah. Yeah, I guess the East Coast just knows what they're doing with beer.
I mean, they've been at it a long time. There are people there before. Well, there are white people there.
Yes.
Man, I almost just stepped on a whole fucking landmine.
Let's go to the video. Yeah. Let's go to the video games now. So this year, Pixel, I'm doing a series here on the show, going to the arcade. There's a new Mortal Kombat movie. Mm-hmm. We're recording this like 10 days before MK2 comes out.
Wow.
And there's a new Street Fighter movie coming out in October. Do you do the fighting games at all?
I have like in group settings, like especially when I lived in a dorm in college, it was one of those like throw it on, take tournament.
Yeah.
Youth group, the TV in the church had like those old school fighting games.
Really?
Yeah, they were really intentional about being cool.
Oh no, we were shooting things. They were all about Halo at my youth group.
I think they had that eventually, but it's like they got everything secondhand. So like when I was there, it was games that were like a console earlier,
like GameCube games, while everyone else was on like 360 or
something. Exactly.
Like that. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay. Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Lots of brawl when I was in college.
Okay,
lots
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because of that and the nature of having a martial art media show, I was like, let's do some video game stuff this year. I'm super excited for both Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter. They both look a lot of fun, especially Street Fighter is looking so silly.
It has to be.
You have to be a little silly. And I wasn't a fan of Carl. I'm not a big fan of Carl Urban, but they're winning me over with his character. He's playing Johnny Cage.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's starting, the trailers are starting to work for me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I find him to be fine.
I like him in the Star Trek movies. I think he's a good McCoy.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that's him.
I don't like the boys. He is hard to root for.
I don't. Okay, so I don't like the guy who wrote the Boys comic book series, Garth Ennis.
No idea who that is.
He is. We'll see how much of friends we are after this statement. He's the Quentin Tarantino of comic books.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just kind of like I'm going to be, rated MA or whatever, rated M, because I can be.
Right.
And that just doesn't...
Just kind of a...
Yeah, it just doesn't work for me. I don't know if he's as much of a piece of shit as Tarantino is, because Tarantino is a bad dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait to do Kill Bill. I'm putting off doing the Kill Bill movie.
Yeah. So my first Tarantino movie was Inglourious Basterds, and I feel like I started at the top, because that's genuine. That's a great movie.
That one's good. The only ones I've liked is that one and Django.
Yeah,
but good. I heard that he plagiarized it, so that explains why. Yeah, that's like a whole thing. He was accused of plagiarizing the script for Django Unchained, so that explains it. Mm. But with Inglourious Basterds, I still do say, "How's your Italian?" That's like my favorite line. I don't.
So good. How's your good?
Along.
Buongiorno.
Along with the. Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter. There's actually a bunch of video game movies coming out this year. Mm-hmm. There's another Angry Birds movie coming out this year because somebody wanted it.
That's just a merch vehicle. Like, so coming up in an episode or so with Paige and Pixel, we're going to be talking about Pokopia, which is the new Pokemon game. Mm. And that, like, Pokemon, there are some, especially games for kids, they are just long-form advertisements to sell cute shit to your kid.
Yeah. And I guess that's why we need another. We don't need another. That's why we are getting another. We got the next Mario movie, Mario Galaxy. I didn't get to see it, but it looks fine.
Sure.
I thought the first one was fine. There's a new Resident Evil movie in September. Yes. There was a new Resident Evil game. You talked about that on the show. Yes. Really liked it, right?
I loved it. Yes.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Pixel, there was a Silent Hill movie too this year.
I don't know why you're doing this. There was a movie that passed itself off as based on Silent Hill 2, written directed by a man who claimed that Silent Hill 2 was his favorite game, and then went on to, like, ruin everything that made that game what it is, and get it wrong and make the dumbest choices, and I wasn't prepared for this. I wasn't prepared to be asked this because they get so angry every time. Because if there was ever a game that deserved a good adaptation, it's Silent Hill 2.
Oh, sure.
And if I ever meet that director in a back alley, he better fucking be packing.
Yeah. She's going to be swinging something. We'll see what. So along with doing some like fighting game content throughout this year, I've also have made some space for survival horror.
Yeah.
Partially because I like horror. Mm-hmm. I have made up excuses to review a couple horror movies here on the show. I did the original Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. New episodes come out on Fridays.
Sure.
And right before Valentine's Day, I did My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Oh, man.
And look, My Bloody Valentine 3D is bad. It's like laughable bad.
But
even
it's so bad, it's good. It comes all the way around the other side.
It does. Yeah. It does. And plus, what's his face from Supernatural's in it? So it's Winchester, whatever his character's name is. But not only do I like horror movies, but being in the martial art space, not that I think you actually have to prepare for these scenarios. As a martial artist, I do think it is kind of fun to sit back and say, okay, so what would I do if Michael Myers was coming at me? How do I survive this? Yeah. Right? Because that's kind of what you're hoping to do if you're going to do martial arts, is be able to protect yourself, protect people around you. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, at least with the two I've covered so far on the show, they literally blow up the bad guy in My Bloody Valentine 3D and does nothing to him. They throw frozen food at him and hit him with a broom, and that was super effective. Obviously, Mrs. Voorhees really does take it at the end of that movie, but there is also a scene, I think it is just like a broom again. It's like,
yeah,
the unconventional weapons are the ones that, for whatever reason, work the best.
Well, and, like, here's the thing about a lot of video games is, like, somehow you'll have all these combat scenarios where you as a player are playing and getting ripped apart murderified.
Mm-hmm.
But then they somehow have to add a cutscene where something happens to your character and all of a sudden it has to have weight because it's in a cutscene.
Right.
So like you've survived this a million times or just reloaded the game, but now because it's a cutscene, you're worried for your life. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of silliness that you just suspend. And in all fairness, good survival horror games are really good at making you kind of forget how stupid that is.
Sure. Yeah. Especially like, and this isn't a diss at all, but especially like with Silent Hill, because you're going up against these like crazy monsters, mm-hmm. you know, at least with Resident Evil, by way of horror, I guess, you are a bit more at like grounded of like some kind of like zombie thing. And we've been around the block on zombies.
Yeah, there's a zombie, there's a virus that breached containment. It affects different people differently. But yeah, there is an explanation for what's going on. And as the series progresses, it gets more and more silly.
Sure.
Like first Resident Evil, they're mostly zombies. Some of them get real big, beefy, like tough to kill zombies.
What's his name? Mr. X?
Yes.
Mr. X, right? Yeah.
Yes. He had a good reaction. But then, you know, by the time we're in like 5, 6, it's like, this is just a giant zombie T-Rex, giant zombie mosquito. So, you know.
We went from like elevated horror to like asylum horror.
As Resident Evil continues, like it starts off survival horror and it slowly kind of becomes an action series, like as it goes to 6 and then 7, they're like, no, all the way back to horror.
Back to basic.
The most horror of horror games.
Okay.
8 continued that trend and 9 is kind of half and half. It's like they're back into action. It's back to, not exactly their wheelhouse because the first game was frightening, but Resident Evil 4 is the most beloved of the Resident Evil games.
Okay.
And that was mostly an action game.
Gotcha.
You starred Leon.
You're kicking things as Leon.
You were kicking people with him. Powerful thighs on that man, yes.
Oh, yes. Look, we all will simp for Leon Kennedy, especially, look, both of us at least grew up in the early 2000s. That hair will do it. Yeah.
I'm not allowed to tell this story, but my husband, Game Boy, when he was in middle school, he went and got the Leon haircut.
Yes.
And naturally, he's like really bright color hair, but it's really curly. And so he got straightened. And
oof.
It was not well received by his classmates. And it was not until we were married that I convinced him to like have a real haircut that was a little different than just shortening his tangle.
Gotcha.
Because it went so poorly. But he really wanted to be Leon, and I think that's sweet and adorable.
That is sweet.
I have no problems with it.
I'm trying to I know Game Boy, and I'm trying to picture it now, and it is. But that I had a similar experience. I'll just tell one on myself. In college, part of my identity crisis through college manifested through I did a lot of different facial hairstyles. Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out.
I would have to.
I never did like crazy hairstyles or hair color or anything like that. It was always like in the facial hair region. And I have been sticking with the beard because my wife Claire likes it. Mm-hmm. And just a mustache, I look a little too much like my dad. So just going to keep the whole beard. Uh-huh. But there was, my friends were always like, what's the style now kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there was one day I showed up to class with a chin strap beard just because I was like, let's give it a try. And like immediately one of my closest friends was like, you have to go back to your dorm and change.
It's never looked good on anyone.
No, it hasn't. And I don't know why I thought of that. I think it was just like, I haven't done this one yet, even though like, I'm assuming this seems to be a universal thing for all college people. All the baseball players had them and they're all tools.
Yeah,
so they were like,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know why that's a thing with college baseball players. They're all tools.
Mm-hmm.
I have never met any college student who would say otherwise. And they all had chin straps and they were like, what were you thinking with this decision?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Chin straps, jock straps. There's a connection there.
There is. That's true. What are we talking about? Oh yeah. Video games. So, all that is to say, we're back talking about survival horror today, and you're here because mm-hmm. you do the video game thing, but you did talk about pretty early on in Page and Pixel that survival horror is like your thing. That's like your
favorite
genre. Mm-hmm. So why is that? What is it about the horror, other than the fact that you also like horror? That's just like a thing for you.
I do. I love horror. It's my favorite film, book, TV genre. But I think my love for survival horror games is almost incidental, because I really truly think some of the best stories told in a game just happen to have been told in that genre. So like, okay. The Last of Us, I think, is an incredible story. Happens to be a survival horror game.
Yeah.
Silent Hill 2, incredible story. Happens to be a survival horror game.
Okay.
So it was kind of a perfect marriage of, I love the genre. I like being spookified. And also, like, my God, these stories are compelling. Like, they are talking about, because if your purpose is not just entertainment, if you want to frighten and put people kind of off ease, you can delve into subjects that are maybe not well handled in a shoot 'em up.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also do the horror part well. Mm-hmm. I've been sucked into a rabbit hole on YouTube with a creator who, he does a lot of like indie horror game playthroughs, but also like some of the ones that are just schlocky. So he did like Bad Satan.
Okay.
Or Sad Satan. Sad Satan. And like all the different versions that are available that just basically rely on shock. Mm-hmm. But we're just going to show it. It's creepy. And then here's a grotesque picture.
Jump cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's lazy. Like, it might still be scary, especially if you're not used to it.
Yeah, jump scares are the laziest form of horror.
Yeah, especially if it's going to be, like, that kind of a jump scare. If it's, like, you know, Ghostface, in my opinion, the king of the jump scares. If it's going to be Ghostface, then that's different. But if it's just like, hey, here's an actual decaying body for no reason.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, with some of these like old independent games that people have found online, there are like, is this actual snuff that has been edited into this game? Who is this person? Like, I follow some YouTubers that like try to track down the original source of some of these videos and images. And it's always like,
this isn't good.
Yeah.
What was that one game? Manhunt, that was like, you're being controlled to make snuff pieces. Like, some people actually did that in real life. Yeah. This is gross. So in one of the episodes, you and Paige were talking about how different your taste in games are, because you're the survival horror person, and Paige is a cozy gamer, which is fine. Totally. We're all
gamers welcome.
All gamers welcome. Yes. Obviously, I'm the Martial Art Media Show. We're talking about survival horror. So she's more of like the cozy gamer, Animal Crossing, the low stakes, chill vibes, the whole bit. In that same conversation, you said this, and I'm paraphrasing because it's podcasts. We don't actually quote anybody.
No.
We're not professionals, but we're supposed to talk like we know what we're talking about. But you said something to the effect of, you like survival horror because it gives you a chance to punch your trauma in the face.
Pretty much.
And after you said that, I was like, yeah, I can work with that on this show. So please, this is not a white evangelical megachurch where I'm going to make you spill your guts in front of everybody.
But I know how to do that. I've done it before.
Right, right, you're right. So, but within your comfort level, has gaming been like a cathartic kind of way to help you process old trauma and things for you, even just to kind of like, get the idea. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I think for me, the first thing and the big thing, and probably why, I know you hadn't mentioned it, but The Last of Us will always be my favorite video game, because it was like, so there was a run of games in 2010s, early 2010s, that all were like good dad protagonists, like morally gray, but good dad.
Okay.
Relationship with mostly a young woman. Okay. And usually like kind of an adopted, like it's a post-apocalypse. They find each other. He takes care of her, helps her survive.
Gotcha.
One way or another. And like just playing through and having a game where the relationship was like this father-daughter relationship just helped me process so much of like, I don't have the best relationship with my dad. Like, okay. he's always been around. It's not abuse. Just was like, never really felt like he wanted to have a kid, kind of felt in the way. Didn't feel like he wanted to have much of a relationship with me.
Okay.
Didn't feel like he liked who I didn't turn into a person that he wanted. So he didn't make an attempt to like have a relationship with who I am, kind of stuff.
Okay.
So like just being able to put myself in the shoes of someone who isn't even a blood relative and has just decided like, I'm going to love this person and take care of this person,
mm-hmm.
As they are, was just so like, I tell people to this day, like Joel from The Last of Us is my real biological father. Okay. Like he's the one that I claim. I think that good stories, either as a form of escapism, can put you in situations like that. Or I think one of the things that draws me to Silent Hill 2 in particular is mm-hmm. like there are lots and lots of monsters and story elements that boil down to you have a sex drive and you're mad about it. Like you want to have sex with somebody you shouldn't. You want to be having mm-hmm. sex, period, when you shouldn't, quote unquote. And as someone who came up in like a purity culture situation, mm-hmm. it's like I know all about exactly how fucked up you can get when people decide and put upon you at a very young age that like your normal human sexuality is this big awful sin.
Gotcha. So I do want to talk. I was going to talk about Silent Hill 2 with you
mm-hmm.
about purity culture.
Whoa,
we were going to get there. So maybe we'll just start there first. But I want to say, isn't it so refreshing? I didn't even think about The Last of Us, which. Sorry, Last of Us fans.
Episode about it. Yeah, we're getting there.
That's true. I didn't even think about The Last of Us going into this, but isn't it so refreshing just because of how the world is, whether you have a good relationship with your dad or not, just broadly to the mm-hmm. listeners, like whether you have a good relationship with your dad or not, isn't it so refreshing just to have like, okay, a morally gray, but like, a good dad represented.
Yes. Yes.
And also one who's a good dad with a younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should I be sitting here saying those words? That should just be how
I know
society is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? A 14-year-old girl who is a badass, but who also needs to be protected. And I think the game walks that line really well of like not infantilizing her. Not okay. saying that she can't at all take care of herself, but gotcha. Also like she's 14 and she's hotheaded and like she needs somebody to protect her, but also she protects him too.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's really great.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's good too. Like you don't want to totally nerf your female characters.
Like Ashley in Resident Evil 4, for those who know.
We'll do that.
You know.
We'll take that. Or any woman in any kung fu movie made in the 70s, they're just there, Pixel. They are props. So yeah, like kudos to them. I've never gotten a chance to. I didn't have PlayStation. We were like a Nintendo household.
Okay.
My grandpa had an original PlayStation.
Yeah.
So whenever I went over to his house when I was a really little kid, that was when I got to play PlayStation. And that was like Gex and Crash Bandicoot, yeah. which I am not mad about.
No, still
to this day, I love Crash Bandicoot. Yep. And the fact that Gex hasn't gotten more games kind of is like, why don't we want more Geico Gecko Spy games? That sounds great to me.
No, you're making a great point. I don't know.
I love Crash Bandicoot. So in one of your episodes, I'll also go to here next. In one of your episodes, you mentioned that, you said your third favorite game was Silent Hill 2 because you did a two-parter on Silent Hill 2. Your second favorite game, you have like a major crush on the main character.
Red Dead Redemption, and I love Arthur.
I was going to guess that one. And then the dad is Joel from The Last of Us. Okay.
And I consider, so when I say favorite game, The Last of Us 1 and 2 are like the are one end, because it's a continuation of one story.
Okay.
So I just, as one complete, well, it's not complete, there will be a third part coming.
Okay.
But like as an overarching story. That is my favorite. I consider it one game in my head.
That makes sense. Flows, yeah.
There are some differences between the two, but by and large. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2, I just didn't even know how turned on I was by cowboys until I played that game. And I was like, he's talking to his horse like, I wish my husband talked to me. It's crazy. That's really not relevant to this.
It's not relevant. And not what anybody talks about with Red Dead Redemption 2. It's so good. It's very beloved.
It's a great game. But like what hooked me early on before I knew how nuanced and wonderful the story would turn out to be was Arthur's voice and just like, easy girl. Yeah.
I remember I watched one time for the original Red Dead, there was like this whole zombie Western thing.
Undead Nightmare.
That looked cool. Yeah. I was terrible at first person shooters back in high school. I can never do the two.
Yeah. So Rockstar Games, which is they make Grand Theft Auto, they make the Red Dead series. They make really great open worlds in that like most open world games are they crash and they just get fuckety and things terrible. Rockstar Games are never gonna crash on you. They're gonna look amazing. The controls are kind of whack. Like they just are not very intuitive.
No. I did like doing different people. I did like doing Nazi zombies on Call of Duty. Because that one I could just camp. I could just camp in a spot and just. And who doesn't want to shoot a Nazi zombie? By the way, listeners, you are getting this episode before you got GTA 6. Just let it.
How long has it been? It's been so long.
A long time.
It's been so long.
You have gotten so many things before you got GTA 6, and now you can add this on. Because this is a gift.
You got a shitty Silent Hill 2 movie adaptation.
Yeah.
Before you got GTA 6.
You got one, two, you're on your third Resident Evil reboot.
My God. What?
Yeah, because Welcome to Raccoon City came out in 2022.
Wow.
Which I think, when did GTA 5 come out? Now I have
to look. Before that.
Yeah.
That was in the teens somewhere.
Super curious now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this. This is why I need to hire a...
I'm going
to
guess.
Yeah, take a guess.
Like 2013.
GTA 5. That's my guess. Here we go. GTA 5 came out in... Oh my gosh. What'd you say?
I said 2013.
Yeah, 2013. Good job. Yeah. Holy cow, you've gotten so many things before GTA 6. Holy crap.
13 years ago, we had President Donald Trump before we had GTA 6.
Twice. Twice now. Okay, so let's stick with the Silent Hill 2. I want to talk about F.
Okay.
Because that's actually what the conversation you were having with Paige comes from.
Episode 2.
Yeah. Very first game review was Silent Hill F. But since we already brought up 2, let's stick with 2 for a minute.
Okay.
So Silent Hill 2 is probably, outside of the diehard fan base, is most known for Pyramid Head, who Paige kind of had a hard time with Pyramid Head.
It's like she thought he was like a sexy, gruff, ultimate good guy, and it's like, no.
No, he is not.
I know that's how he's cosplayed. That's like,
yeah.
There are so many people that are just attracted. I saw this meme today, and it was, it said, I'm bisexual, which means I'm attracted to the sexy nurses and Pyramid Head.
Ew.
But I get where they're coming from with the fandom, because like those are the two most cosplayed costumes.
Do the nurses get cosplayed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't do the condom faces.
Okay, that's good. I think I've seen the Pyramid Head. I have considered getting into cosplaying because I've always thought it's really cool. Mm-hmm. I have always thought it was, yeah. And some of the even like the simple ones are cool, like just throwing on the Spider-Man morph suit stuff.
Yeah.
But like, the more intricate ones are just amazing. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I just have never had the confidence to actually, like, put myself out there and do something like that. When I was listening to whichever part of the Silent Hill 2, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do Pyramid Head. Make him a Midwest dad.
Oh, people have done all kinds of shit with like, your head. You can, yeah. Because you put the head on, then they know who it is, and you can play around.
Right, you can do whatever. Yeah, so I'm going to wear, you know, have like the jorts and the New Balances with the socks all the way up, and maybe like a, you know, like a apron. That's the word. An apron. Like grilling. Okay, fanny pack works too. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I see that a lot at Comic-Cons with Deadpool. Deadpool's another one that like, once you have the mask on, you can do whatever you want with the rest of the Deadpool. But also, don't be a weird Deadpool and be like that in character. That's a thing. Yeah.
And also, don't do that with Pyramid Head.
Also, don't do that. Stay away from the mall with mannequins.
Oh my God, anyway. That's kind of... Don't do it. Don't do that. Yeah.
Oh my God, that episode of Doctor Who when all the mannequins come up. I got to get off of that. Okay, so as you talked about with Silent Hill 2, kind of the overarching, not narrative, but theme going on here is that James is angry and horny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come at this with a, I'm a learning and growing guy, so please forgive me if I say anything wrong. I'm doing my best. That's part of what this show is. It actually has helped me.
On a journey.
Like, kind of justifiably so on the horny side.
Yeah, and it's because he's done the quote-unquote right thing. Like, yes. He is pent up because his wife has been sick probably for 3 years. That's a whole thing.
Sure.
Has been essentially bedridden and very sick and not herself and mm-hmm. gross and covered in like sores and for 3 years.
Yeah.
And he has not cheated on her. He hasn't stepped out of the marriage, but like, my God, does he want to? And like I'm not going to be the one to blame him for that.
Sure.
That's not the problem, but he blames him for that.
Yes. And so not all of them, because there are some side characters who's the one little girl.
The little girl? Laura, the asshole.
Yeah, you have all these other additional characters in this Silent Hill who are going through their own traumatic monster experiences, but all of James basically come back to he is angry and he is horny
mm-hmm.
and he needs to get therapy and release.
Yes, and guilt and shame are the... And he also is carrying a lot of guilt, which... I don't know how far into spoiler territory you want to go.
But I've spoiled movies on the regular.
Yeah, because he fucking murdered his wife so that he could go have sex with someone else. And the guilt made him not do that and instead get stuck in Silent Hill.
Yes. Like many things in life, folks, for the love of God, get therapy.
Seriously.
Like,
genuinely. I'm sure whatever hospice his wife was staying at, they have like support groups. They have resources for like caregiving spouses, or have a conversation about setting up some kind of arrangement. I don't know. Sure. Just like grown-ups that talk about it.
Communicate. Yeah. It is. When did the original come out? That's like early 2000s, right?
It's between 2001, 2004. It's
somewhere in there. Like, maybe we're not quite at the place of talking about open or polyamorous relationships.
No.
But again, having the conversation.
Even acknowledging the difficulty of being a caregiver and having the caregiver be a guy. Like, there's so much about... Like, this is not a topic anybody fucking talked about before Silent
Hill
about it. But it affects... millions of people. Like, there were so many people that at the end of their loved one's life, and James and Mary happened to be young, which adds another layer to it, but like, mm-hmm. ideal, you know, best case scenario, if you marry someone, the happy ending is that one of you watches the other one die.
Oh, no.
And it's not always fast, you know? So this is a thing that a lot of people can identify with, but it wasn't talked about before they did it.
Yes. Video games can be very groundbreaking.
Yes.
They're not just violent, mindless things to say this is the reason why society is crumbling. Instead, they're actually dealing at times with like topics that are very sensitive and
mm-hmm.
no one else wants to really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Like the struggle, we'll just put it broadly, the struggle of watching a loved one going through a long death process. Mm-hmm. Like that's and very relatable.
Yeah, that's horror. That's real. Or with Angela's character, who is the victim of sexual abuse at the hands of her father and brother for most of her life, and who has enough, murders them, but then the guilt and shame from doing that trap her, which I think, to me, she is the most fascinating character. Because an outside perspective, I would say most people would say, like, you didn't do anything wrong, girl.
Sure.
They were the bad guys. You stood up for yourself. Yeah. Nobody's going to hold that against you, but it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because hell is something you make for yourself, at least as far as all of the Silent Hill games are concerned.
Right, right. Super existential. Hell is other people, and you just make it for yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what is, like, Pyramid Head's role in all of this? Because he's not necessarily like other boss monsters.
No, you can't kill Pyramid Head. Pyramid Head eventually will kill himself. Pyramid Head is essentially James's ego defense mechanism. It is a thing that is keeping him from learning the truth about what he did to Mary. Like, James is in full denial. He doesn't remember most of what happened. And Pyramid Head is trying to keep it that way. Out of protection, you know, because he doesn't think that James can handle knowing what he did. And so the culmination of their relationship is James essentially saying, like, I know what I did. I don't want to hide in denial anymore. I don't need you. Stop protecting me. You were never helping me.
Yeah. And that is the part that, for me, as I was listening to the episode, I was like, oh, yeah, purity culture.
Say more.
And I think it's because, okay, so obviously the events of Silent Hill 2 are extremely graphic. So I would hope a teenager would not be going through the same kind of exact thing that James and the other characters are going through.
But hopefully there are who are going through what Angela is going through every day. Like, not to be fucking dark about it, no, but
that,
there are.
That is true. I do think that there is this, like, even for myself, having gone through my own form of purity culture, I kind of got the women, you know, cover themselves up. But for guys, it was always portrayed as like, well, you already lost. It was a lost battle from the get-go.
Oh,
for
guys. Yes. Okay.
It was a loss. You can't really
control yourself.
You really can't control. You've already lost.
Yes.
And like, I'm hearing these things at a young teen age, thinking to myself, I don't understand, but I guess I'm, like, kind of messed up more than I realized, ?
Yeah.
And I just think that, in a way, Silent Hill 2 does really show that, like, within purity culture, you can really get to a place where you just, as you said earlier, just really hate any kind of sexual or even just like attraction
and
feeling that you have
the person that made you feel that as if it's their fault.
So probably for the wider audience of purity culture, I personally never had that well, her shirt is too tight.
Yeah,
like that personally was never a thing for me. I guarantee for other guys, probably guys who are still very much into it, that are like, oh, no, it is her fault because
it's her responsibility to protect my whatever.
And like, James is an adult in Silent Hill 2. But as a teen, hopefully you're not as like angry and violent as James can be.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going through puberty where you are experiencing all kinds of emotions, and it wasn't until Miss Rachel was invented that we started working on emotional regulation for people. So even at the age of 32, I'm still working on growing in regulating my own emotions, so that way I can take care of producer Cooper, who is 4, and learning. I swear, you have a toddler, Pop-Tart.
I do.
Toddlers are first puberty. Nobody ever talks about that way. But just like, getting all these emotions and not knowing what to do with them. And they mm-hmm. all, you feel all of them as a toddler, just so like
right.
strongly. Yes. And as a teen, you're feeling that too, both with anger and attraction and everything mm-hmm. else, that it's like, yeah, we probably all have like a pyramid head.
Yeah. I mean, I really like genuinely, I would not wish going through puberty in a pyramid, in a purity culture setting.
In a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. No, I would not wish that on anyone. Like, it is just, it is not healthy to tell someone who is legit, like, there are hormonal reasons. Like, there are things happening to your body and your brain that are, like, you are supposed to have sexual awakening. You're supposed to experiment with yourself. Like, those are all things that are supposed to happen. It's all normal.
At the bare minimum, you should be finding, well, some people are asexual, so I'll back that up a little bit. But at the bare minimum, like, you might be noticing for the first time that someone is attractive.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I remember learning, here we are, folks, buckle up. I remember learning in health class, I didn't learn this until college, that like, yeah, I think it was a psychology class in college when I learned that no matter what, like, dudes especially, and around 11, 12, 13, like, you are going to come for the first time. It's going to happen in your sleep. You're going to do it to yourself. Like, it's going to happen. So to have grown up, I was like, I remember being sitting in that fucking lecture hall being so angry because, like, if it's an inevitability, if it's a biological sure. reality, why was there so much, if it happens to everybody,
mm-hmm.
everybody, why was there so much shame heaped upon something that tells me, like, that's fucking like part of the design.
Okay.
You know, like that's sure. supposed to be. So yeah. why would you make somebody feel like I'm terrible. I need to repent. There's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
No, everyone has done that. And you don't know that because you're too ashamed to talk to each other.
Right. Instead, we're taught to blame.
Mm-hmm. To lie, to hide. Lie,
to
yep.
hide. Or to do somehow on the flip side, really big acts of exposing yourself, you
oh
know, like,
oh, yeah.
I've seen, mm-hmm. I never really had to do, I'm thinking through my own experience. It was always awkward enough when they had to split the guys and the girls, because you all, we knew what was going on.
Uh-huh.
We all knew.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And usually the guys got David and Bathsheba. I can say that for a fact.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Ooh. Ooh, okay. I hate that. Keep going. Okay.
Wow. Yep. And, but this beer's kicking in. I'm having a hard time remembering things. The point I guess I was trying to make is that you're going through just like such a normal experience. And like when you get into the not too far back history of purity culture, it starts at like a somewhat like, okay, I see the reasoning behind this, because it really gets going during the AIDS epidemic.
Yes,
and it's
yes.
like, we need to protect teens.
Yeah.
But it, by what is that, the late 80s? So by the time we're in youth group, so I'm like 2010, you're like what?
So I'm 32 now, so.
Oh, we're the same age.
Yeah.
Why did I think you were older than me?
Because I'm older than your wife.
Oh, you are older than Claire, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're older than your wife.
Yes.
And I have lots of gray hair normally, but this is a fresh dye job pretty much.
Gotcha. Mine are starting to show up in my beard, and I just hope it looks awesome.
Yeah, it could.
I really want.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the thing that girls got in those pure.
Oh, yeah. Tell me that. Tell me that.
It was this constant message of, we know that you are being pressured to have sex that you don't want to have. You want love. But girls, you got to hold out. You got to wait, because someone who really loves you is going to be willing to wait. But it was this constant message of like, girls don't like sex. Girls don't want sex. And I remember sitting there being like, I think I do. And I feel like I don't, this is getting wiggity and off in the deep water, but like, I don't know that I turn into a non-binary adult without the constant message of girls don't like sex. And me being so certain from a very young age that was not true of me.
Okay.
That, like, I mustn't be a girl.
Oh, okay.
And I'm fine with it. Like, I don't feel like I need to, like, reconnect. Because I was never super feminine anyway. But it's, like, that constant message of porn is a guy problem. Wanting to have sex is a guy problem. You have to protect the guys in your life because you want them to love you because you're a stupid, silly romantic. it's...
Silly, silly person.
Mm-hmm.
You silly, silly person. I never got as much the... And, okay, even when I was more into the evangelical culture, there were always things, especially gender things, that I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And one of them is love and respect. That
Oh my God. Yes, 100%.
Because, 100%. Like, I don't know, both?
Both would be nice.
Both would be nice. You should, for those of you who don't know, I was talking to Pixel a little bit before the show. The audience isn't 100% Christian. Okay. So.
Good.
That was.
I'm sorry. If you're a Christian, you're fine. We're all good.
Knowing the other guys on the network, everyone's pretty much on board. Maybe not so much the cussing, but it's fine. Sorry, Christian. So.
I'm not sorry.
Anyway. So. For those of you who don't know, I think you could probably figure out the purity culture part. And I feel like that's a little bit in the zeitgeist of, like, that's a weird Christian thing. Love and respect, on the other hand, that was like a whole book of that women. And you do hear this still, due to the nature of the kind of content I produce. I do occasionally get Menosphere content on Instagram, usually people responding. But every once in a while, something will sneak through. So this still shows up. So you may have heard this before of women want love, men want respect.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently women don't want respect. Men don't want to be loved.
That's for sissies.
That is for pussies. Like, we don't want men to feel loved. And why in the world would we respect women?
Why?
Why would we do that? Oh, I have more thoughts on that. But we have to get to another game.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
So do you have any other things to say about Silent Hill 2?
I mean, of course I do, but...
You should go, like I said earlier, listeners, Pixel here did a whole two-parter.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to unpack.
There's so much to
unpack. There's a lot to unpack.
And that was such a labor of love for me. Like, if you have a couple hours... to throw and just listen to me synthesizing, like, what is a core game for me? Like, it would just mean so much if you would listen to me blather about my game passion and love interest. Like, truly, truly.
Token combat conversation before we move on, because that's what this show is. So... Pyramid Head has a giant knife. I've heard it's like a giant pair of scissors that it's actually just like one half of.
That could be. It's a big, long, blocky sword thing.
Big, blocky. It doesn't look practical.
No. But like, there's a moment in the game where James picks up the sword and like can barely drag it and then has to drop it to like go up a ladder to get out of
the
situation. Yeah.
Is that like... Does that build off of the metaphor at all with Pyramid Head? Do you think?
Oh, you know, probably. What's interesting. So you need the sword. There is a hallway that is just like lots of like arms and limbs, just like blah, 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 all over each other. And if you are carrying Pyramid Head's sword, they part for you and you don't have to fight through them. But it's interesting because like it's the same character build, like it's the same body. Pyramid Head can wield that thing like it's nothing, and James can barely lift it. That's, you know, I really haven't thought about that, and that there is this hallway that is dense with monsters that just gets out of the way because the sword is there. Huh?
I'm sure some YouTuber / Reddit thread has thoughts on this.
Listeners at home,
that too.
If you want to tell us what the fuck is going on with that sword, we'd love to hear it.
Please do. Leave comments. Do it. By the way, for my Midwest dad Pyramid Head, instead of a giant knife thingy, is it a giant spatula?
It's grill tongs. Or
grill tongs. Like grill tongs? Yeah. Okay. More on that later. Another goofy. When was the last time you watched Friday the 13th Part 1? The original.
Oh, God. It's been maybe when I was in. It's been a long time.
Okay. So the guy who owns who's reopening Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
When he first shows up on screen, he is shirtless in jorts with a red bandana. I am totally recreating
that. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to go anywhere with that, but I'm going to take a picture. I got a pair of jorts recently to like.
A couple summers ago, my whole aesthetic was like 80s horror movie.
Okay.
And it was all just, I made crop tops out of everything.
Oh, of course.
I made cutoffs out of everything. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that aesthetic.
Let's go 80s. Let's go 80s horror. So let's bebop. We'll go forward in the Silent Hill franchise, but backwards in Page and Pixel episodes.
Okay. And in time, because F is set in the 60s.
That is true. Is it the 60s? I couldn't remember if it was the 50s or 60s. Okay, so Silent Hill F. That's where this conversation between you and Paige takes place. Because it was like episode 2, your first game review.
Mm-hmm.
So really feeling each other out on like what you like.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to look it up. How do you say the main character's name again? Is it?
Hinako.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I kept wanting to say Kimiko, but I think that comes from something else.
There's lots of Kimiko. Kimiko is a really common name. Hinako.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought this was really interesting. So I listened to your review. Yay. I haven't played it. So a lot of the things you talked about in that episode basically amount oversimplifying. The game is gorgeous. It plays rather clunky.
Yeah.
So I watched a bunch of gameplays on YouTube just to get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm not playing it, so I don't know how clunky it is. It is gorgeous, though. Uh-huh. That is a beautiful game.
It's beautiful. It really is.
That is a beautiful... I remember you talking about something, like the map or something. It's like really intricately drawn.
It's beautiful and it's hand-drawn and it's almost completely fucking useless because it's so pretty and hand-drawn that you can't tell where anything is going, but it's nice.
So with Silent Hill F, which the F stands for...
Fuck you. That's what it stands for.
It's a divisive? Is that the right word? Is it a divisive game in the fandom?
It is. But so I feel like... So I wasn't a huge fan of this game. I feel like most people that were not a fan of this game were just kind of dude bros that were like, this is too much about ladies and lady shit. And that is not my problem with it. I just thought the combat sucked and I didn't like that I had to play it 3 times to get the real ending.
And then you got the real ending. Is what I want to talk about. But first off, shout out to Himiko with the fox arm.
Badass.
That's cool.
Badass.
More of that, please, and thank you. Do you normally... You don't normally get, like, special abilities like that in the Silent Hill games, right? It's very... The combat is usually more grounded than that, correct?
I haven't played every Silent Hill game because they're not all worth playing.
Gotcha.
But, like, the early ones especially, like, you're just a guy.
Yeah.
And not even a particularly in-shape well-prepared guy.
With a gun that may or may not have bullets in it. Like,
and it takes a bit to get the gun. Like, you got a steel pipe at first, and you better hope that that is enough to handle these mannequins.
This one is very different in the franchise. As you said, we're going backwards in time.
It's not in Silent Hill,
In Silent Hill. Is there an explanation for that? Or is it just like, okay, this is not Silent Hill, proceed?
Yes, in Ebisugelka in Japan. There is a connection. So, like, there is this drug that is in Silent Hill 1, I believe.
Okay.
And you learn that the flower that produces the drug grows in this town. And that's what the kind of red creeping...
So
there is a connection.
Okay.
But I think really what they're doing... Because there's another Silent Hill game coming out in a year or so that is set in... like some European coastal town, I think. So they're kind of
trying to do it in different spots.
Germany, like they're it's less about the physical location and more about the metaphysical idea of falling into another reality.
I don't know why this is where my head went, but like the Predator movies where it's a different time frame and a different location every time. Sorry, don't know why that I do know why. I do know why my eyes were in my head when I'm drinking a barrel-aged stout. But, so, with this game, it's, I remember you said the whole dude bros, because I remember now in that episode you were like, I don't like this game, but I don't want to say that because a lot of people don't like this game because...
Yeah, I want to be really clear about why I don't like this game and that it has nothing to do with that.
I watched a particular YouTuber, and I'm not trying to protect their identity. I legitimately don't remember the channel's name, okay? Or we could rag on him. He had a different take.
Okay.
So, in Silent Hill F, Hinako. Hinako is a young girl who is proposed to be wed, and she don't know if she wants that or not.
Yeah, half of her wants it, half of her sure don't.
And so she splits.
Yep.
Literally. Mm-hmm. Is it Real World and Silent Hill? Or is it fuzzy?
It's kind of like how we talked about with Silent Hill 2. Like, there are levels. There's, like, level 1 Silent Hill.
Gotcha.
2. So, like, level 1 Silent Hill F is, like, you're around the town. You are the Hinako that does not want to get married.
Gotcha.
And then kind of level 2 is in this shrine to a fox god. And that Hinako wants to get married. And the fox god is a representation of her fiance.
Right. Which may be what the F also stands
for. It could stand for so many different things, and they never say.
This YouTuber had a different take, and I'll get to it. Don't worry. And the one going through the process of not wanting to be married is solely because she just wants to live her own life. Yep. She's living in 1960s Japan, where it's still very traditional, very, you're a woman, you get married, you become a mother, that is your life. Mm-hmm. She don't want that. She's got, like, a bro.
Boy. Yeah, she's a tomboy. She wants to make her own. The game, like, really hammers. She wants to be in charge of her own destiny. Even if she messes up, even if she makes mistakes, she wants them to be her decisions to make. She doesn't want to have a guy controlling the rest of her life.
And so, there's a couple different endings, as these games normally go. One of them, if I remember correctly, she goes insane and murders everybody at her wedding, correct?
She's a drug addict, and you don't even know it until the very end, yep.
That's a good swerve. That is a good swerve.
My favorite ending by far. Like, what the hell? That's just a health item. What do you mean taking it made me an addict? Damn.
But in the true ending, the way that you explained it, and obviously fill me in, in the true ending, she basically gets to a point of telling the fiancé, not now, I need some space, maybe later. Mm-hmm. Is that the... fill us in.
Yes, and it definitely feels like probably later.
Okay.
Like, basically, the two halves of herself make friends. There's this letter that she writes to her fiancé that's like, just let me sow some wild oats first.
Let's go, girl.
And she, like, I don't know, gets to still fucking play soccer or whatever. I don't know. She keeps some of her tomboyishness, but it seems like... So there's a lot. At least several. Go ahead.
Look. We used to say tomboy. Is she bisexual? That is what I've come to realize. Is that what that term means?
I don't know. To me, there's no real indication. Because the other female characters in the game are bad. Like,
well, yeah, I remember. Okay, yeah.
So, like, I thought more likely her character read as potentially trans to me.
Oh, interesting.
There are some
lines
where she straight up says, like, I do not want to be a girl. I wish I were a boy.
Oh,
and the game kind of plays it off as, like, yeah, being a girl in 1960s Japan is kind of shitty. And maybe that is all it is. But also, maybe she doesn't want to be a girl and wants to be a boy.
Interesting.
But they don't go anywhere with that.
Sure.
There are several games, Japanese games in particular, where it's like you toe up to the line of breaking with tradition. But the final message is, hey, it's okay to feel the way you're feeling. But really, the best true path is to embrace what your elders have done forever.
Stay with tradition.
Yes.
Stay with tradition.
Yes.
And obviously, you didn't care for that. It sounds like you liked the setup of She may be breaking with tradition, but then the punchline, not so much.
Several, like, the wiggity ending where she murders everyone at the wedding. That's fun. That's great. Or there's an ending where she just goes off with her dude best friend. And, like, they're not a couple. They're not together. She just says, like, screw you. I'm not getting married. I don't want to get married. And I thought that
was... Good for her.
Yeah. But then the game is like, you know what? You did that. There's a fucking dragon deity that's destroying the town because you made the fox god sad. And he's not going to protect the village anymore. And it's like, what? Why is all that on my shoulders?
I was going to say, is it bad that I'm like, those gods are sensitive? Is it bad that that was my reaction?
I'm like, listen, when you really look into, like, most religious texts, gods be sensitive.
Yeah, that's true. They are pretty sensitive. So I'm watching this YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the nice way to put it is that he was more generous towards the true ending.
Okay.
So for him... All right, I'm not good with music stuff, but you know music stuff, right,
you Pixel? Do.
Okay, the F stands for the Fatissim. It means quiet. Oh,
no, F is loud. Forte is loud.
Forte is loud. Okay, so it was the music.
You know, now that you say that, the font, like, it is the same font as when you see on traditional music scores. Like, okay. Kind of swirly. You know, that's interesting. Okay.
Because apparently also, again, I'm sitting in the middle of two different creators talking about the same game. I ain't played it. But his take was a lot of, I forgot what level it is that she is experiencing all of this. It's very loud. There's characters like screaming at her.
Yeah.
And this is all supposed to represent that she has a lot of voices telling her what she should do.
Yes. Yeah.
So in the true ending, she's going to go get the quiet that she needs to figure out herself.
Okay.
That was his take.
I don't hate that take.
Okay. Are you ready for the take you are going to hate?
Please.
Okay, so here we go. So a lot of her trauma that does manifest in forms of monsters is her abusive alcoholic dad.
Yes.
Correct. And the fact that she has an abusive alcoholic dad and a mom who won't stick up for herself or the mom or the daughter, mm-hmm. right, has also influenced how she sees motherhood, but also how she sees men.
Absolutely.
So she doesn't trust her fiance, right?
Absolutely.
Even though that's not how all men are.
Oh my God.
And it was at that point that I...
We know. Nobody's... Oh.
And it was at that point...
Oh, nobody is saying that, but if you are saying not all men, we are talking about you. Let's be really fucking clear about that.
So, it was at that point that I was like, okay, I don't know how much I want to put weight on this. I appreciate the music. I don't know music stuff. I've tried learning music things. I'm bad at that in foreign languages. It's my brain, I think. But once the... It's not all men came out. And isn't it so? I've been hearing that a lot lately because of a certain CNN article about a website called motherless.com. I want to say this, and you can throw stones at me. It does, as a cis man, it does hurt when I hear the yes, all men.
Sure.
But it's not because I have something to hide. After that article broke, I sat my wife Claire down and we had a conversation where I made it very clear I have never done anything like that to her.
Yeah.
So, like, I would think I, Game Boy, other guys are actual good guys. It does hurt when I hear the yes, all men. Because I'm sensitive and I'm working on it, okay? I'm in therapy, okay? I do understand that it is, but it isn't. Like, I get that.
I think sometimes the yes, all men thing, which, like, most people I know don't really think in harsh binaries like that. But I think it comes from a place of, like, trauma and self-protectiveness. Like, I have been hurt enough times that I'm just going to assume that this is not a safe situation for me.
Yeah.
And like, therapy, there are ways to work through that. But it's like people who have been, like, attacked by a dog, if they don't like dogs, like, you don't give them shit for it.
Right.
You know? It's I like dogs. I understand why you don't. I like men. I understand why maybe you don't.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't blame somebody for thinking that.
Yeah.
Here, so, I am a big fan, and I've covered several of these films on the show. I'm a big fan of blaxploitation films. Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You do.
So, I love those for several different reasons. First off, their heroes are so much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Fred the Hammer Williamson, Jim Brown, Pam Grier, they're all so much cooler than anything else. But also, I think it is interesting for me as a white man who did grow up more conservative. I find myself to be like leftish now.
Huh.
It is very interesting to see how I would have been viewed, particularly in the 70s, and more than likely a neo-Nazi, because a lot of the bad guys in blaxploitation films are crooked cops, or just cops in general, neo-Nazis, or pimps. And I'm not the third one. So
just believe in yourself.
Just believe. Reject that purity culture and believe in yourself.
Sell women for sex.
And then there's the ones where the hero is a pimp, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. Anyway.
Pimp with a heart of gold? Is it like the other side of the hooker with a heart of gold coin?
Kind of, yeah. It's basically he protects the girls, and they all love him, and they all throw themselves at him.
Fantasy.
There is... So the movie's called Dolomite is the really pop... Okay, yeah. And... I did a whole episode on it back in February. You can go back and listen to it, listeners, if you're just now hearing about it. It is weird to kind of like sit back and go, this is a very not morally gray profession. And like a lot of Pam Grier's movies are like, no, pimps are bad guys.
Yeah.
They're repeatedly. The pimps are bad guys.
Yes.
Even if it is a black man or a black woman.
They're exploiting you.
Yeah, they're exploiting you. Anyway, so like sometimes with the whole, bringing it back to what we're talking about, with the whole yes, all men and everything that's going on right now with motherless.com. And I posted this on Instagram. And if you missed it, I don't care if it was 62 million men, 62 million different individuals, or one person watching one video, the fact that motherless.com even exists is a problem.
Yeah.
And allowing that kind of content to be freely uploaded and viewed.
Yeah.
So it is helpful for me to know how I could be perceived, even though it really hurts, because to me, it's like, you're just assuming that about me. I'm actually a really great guy. Yeah, they heard that line before.
Right.
And were but hurt.
Yeah.
Abused by it.
Well, because that's the thing that a bad guy would say too.
Yeah.
Because it's not anyone can say anything at all, you know. It's action. And if you're in a place where you don't feel safe to be around someone long enough to see what they do.
Yeah.
You know, kinda is what it is.
You know, I work with children, and a lot of my coworkers are teenage girls. And this is like very much like on the front of my mind of like, I could look very suspicious in a gymnastics facility, you know? And so I go out of my way. I do this thing. If I have to pass through like a group of kids to get to whatever, I'll put my hands up like this. Just because I want everyone to know these are where my hands are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't make a big deal about it. I was just like, hey, everyone, you know, that kind of thing. One time, one of my students, bless her heart, she was like, why did you do that? And I was like, the kid's 11. And it's hard. There has been moments where I have had to have conversations with kids that, like, I'm kind of breaking the rose glasses a little bit.
I understand.
And I'm like, well... Coach Brandon just wants to make sure that I refer to myself in the third person. That's like a thing we're supposed to do.
Okay.
Coach Brandon wants to make sure that the parents know that he is a trustworthy person and is safe to be around and for the kids to be around. Well, shouldn't they think that already? You work here. And I was like, I wish.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, like, I don't know how to appropriately respond. I've had to have conversations with kids before. Sweet little preschool girls who just get a little too touchy.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sure.
I had one who would, like, poke my belly. I have a bit of a dad. A bit dad stomach. And here's the thing. It's cute. It's innocent. She's communicating that she likes me.
She's comfortable
with me. Feels safe around me. And fun fact, folks, I'm not a fucking weirdo. So it's not doing anything for me. But in my mind, Pixel, if I let something like that go on, that's happened like once or twice with two different kids. If I let that go on, I'm like unintentionally grooming a kid. Like, I'm not going to do anything with that.
Yeah.
But they could, if I don't do anything about it, they can learn that is okay and someone else could take advantage of
that. Yeah.
And so I've had to have conversations, and I have it with the student and the parent. And I explained to them, you're not in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, when Coach Brandon says hands to ourselves, because, you know, kids are always smacking each other, that does also include Coach Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
High fives are great. If mom is okay, hugs after class are fine.
Mm-hmm.
If mom is okay with that. But and then I'll always state what it is, so that way mom knows that nothing like super bad was going on.
Right.
That's just, if I trip, you're going to fall down on top of me. Like, I have to kind of spin it that way, because I can't say, because some big fucking weirdo might take advantage of you later on. You know what I mean?
No, I totally, like, I've had interactions with kids where it's like, if somebody ever, like, touches you and you don't like it, like, you can tell me, you can tell a parent, like, you need to say, even if they tell you not to, like, you need to, if anything happens and you think it's weird, you need to trust that. But that's also, like, that's a weird conversation to feel like you need to have with a child.
Yeah. And you have to do it not the purity culture way.
No, not going the shamey, blamey way.
Right. Of like, you did something wrong. Yeah. No, you didn't. You're a 5-year-old child.
Yes. You didn't do anything wrong, and mommy still needs to know.
Yes.
And you are never in trouble. But.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
even if they say you will be in trouble, which is another whole thing.
The whole thing. Like, yeah. So it sucks. It sucks to be a man. You can spit your wine out now.
It sucks to be
a person
alive on Earth a lot of the time. And we just fucking grab on to beauty, don't we? We just hold on tight whenever we fucking can, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is the true moral of Silent Hill that everybody needs therapy?
Among others. I think the true moral is you can't hide from yourself.
Mm.
Like, you are gonna, it's gonna come out one way or another. And the longer you try to deny who you are, what you've been through, what you're feeling, the worse things are gonna get.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, of like, you need to just accept yourself, even if it is really ugly.
Yes.
And especially because
you can't work on it if you don't know what's there.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to talk Resident Evil for a bit?
Sure. Let's do it.
So here's the thing about, you can correct me because you've played these games more than I have. Silent Hill is very like, we're going to be so heavy-handed with the metaphors and the themes and all that.
This is about something.
Resident Evil, not so much. This is like back to basics of like...
We're having fun.
Yeah. Other than what? Corporations are evil?
Corporations are evil. Don't fuck around with viruses and biology. Like, bioweapons, maybe don't do it.
Yeah. That's so... That is so early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember as a small child, war in Iran, biochemical weapons. I know WMDs was a big thing as well, but I remember, like, what was it? What was the thing in envelopes? Anthrax?
Mm-hmm.
The whole anthrax scare?
Right fucking after 9/11. It was like 9/11, and there was anthrax in the fucking envelopes, like, months later.
Yeah. Like, And I'm a children at this point. Yeah, because we just discovered we're both the same age. So we were children during this. And so there's like, there's a little bit of the whole bioweapon thing is like, oh, that is very early 2000s. But these games came out in like the 90s, early 2000s.
And before they had like the Tylenol scare in Chicago. Late 80s. So like, it had been kind of building. And even before that, you have some games and stories that touch on like the use of Agent Orange or white phosphorus in
mortifying
settings.
Sure.
Mustard gas. Like it, there's a lot to pull from in like World War One and Two on, really. Like there's a lot.
Yeah. Not gamma rays. We found out that that is nothing, but we invented an entire superhero around it. Good job, Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, but like the, I mean, going back to the Nazis with like Dr. Mengele and Unit 731 on, in the Japanese theater and all these attempts to like figure out how to control and manipulate human biology for whatever purposes the controller wants. And yes. I think there's a lot of like Dr. Mengele and Oswald Spencer, Alex Wesker, like the Umbrella Corporation.
Sure.
Like they have this virus and they don't give a shit that it will kill most people because it might make them jacked.
I like that too. Speaking of Marvel Comics, I really like how, so they're basically trying to invent a super soldier serum.
Yes.
And I, so.
Because it'll make them a lot of money because they'll sell it to whatever government.
Whoever wants it. Highest bidder. I don't think super soldier is normally portrayed this way. So I love Captain America. Okay.
Yeah.
One of my favorite superheroes. That's the whole basis of the thing is jacked up on super soldier serum. One time I had somebody tell me I looked like Chris Evans. And then specified before he got the super soldier. And I was like, that was rude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It means your head's too big for your body.
No, right. Can I at least be Chris Evans in Knives Out with, you know, the cool sweater?
Eat shit. Yeah. Definitely eat shit. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so I do think it's interesting that they go like the, we're going to use super soldier for personal malicious intentions at the expense of everybody around us. An entire town. Mm-hmm. Where is Raccoon City? I got down a whole rabbit trail on Raccoon City where it's supposed to.
I don't know.
I saw one post that I think summarized it the best that it's kind of like Springfield in The Simpsons.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah.
It's wherever you want it to be, babe. That's where it is.
Because sometimes it looks like Chicago.
Well, so
like skyline wise.
So fucking the nearest town, Renwood, in the newest Resident Evil game, that's fucking Chicago.
That is Chicago.
It looks exactly like Chicago.
Gotcha. But then like I saw some arguments that was like, well, when you look at like the surrounding geography, it would almost make more sense if it was like Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the Midwest. Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard Boston before.
Weird.
I don't know. People be
there's not enough.
Shit.
There's not enough donuts. And Leon Kennedy.
I think there is a donut shop. Maybe I'm.
Leon Kennedy's not walking around. I can't do the Boston accent. I'm going to kick you in the face.
That was Australian.
That was Australian. That was really bad. Let me do.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Where was Blink-182? They're from New Jersey, isn't it?
You know what? Raccoon City could definitely be like right on the edge of the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. I like that theory.
You like that one?
I like that theory.
Where are you? Shoots a zombie in the face. Are they zombies?
Yes, in that they are kind of mindless killing machines.
They're like plant-based or something.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are.
Okay.
So they have done, there are different strains of the virus. There are strains of the virus that they have made plants come to life. There are strains that they have injected humans and animals. There are different shit they've done with mold that comes up later on in 7 and 8.
Okay.
It's not all the same thing, but it's all biological manipulation.
So if you think COVID strains are not important, literally they built an entire game franchise around the idea of like various strands of a virus.
Uh-huh. And vaccines fucking work.
Do they work in the game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
They work super well. They work better than they have any right to.
So that's cool. So it's not like a big pharma is evil. game.
No, it's Umbrella is evil.
Umbrella,
and,
okay.
And the government is easily corruptible because Umbrella has lots of money.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. One last thing on Resident Evil, because I don't know. If you want to talk more Resident Evil, you can. I only have one more question.
Okay.
So, like, with the movies, why Alice? You don't even get any of the main
Claire Redfield,
Leon Kennedy.
Dude.
You don't get anybody until, like, halfway through.
I just watched a documentary about how George Romero, like, Night of the Living Dead.
I wanted to watch this one.
Wrote a script, was supposed to be the guy that did Resident Evil, and it got snatched out from under him and given to this other guy who had a totally different vision. And, like, I've seen the best thing about OG Resident Evil film adaptation, the soundtrack fucking rules. A Perfect Circle, it's one of my favorite bands. I only know about them because my husband discovered them watching OG Resident Evil.
Gotcha.
And he only watched it because Mila Jovovich was in it, and we already talked about boobs. So, they're not great movies. They don't feel like Resident Evil movies.
Okay.
They're fun, schlocky action.
Sure.
But, like, it seems like George Romero had a good, faithful adaptation. But the thing was, at that time, in the 90s, Resident Evil games were kind of over-the-top gory in a way that, like, the film industry
wasn't ready for.
Like, David Cronenberg was doing weird shit, but it was all, like, cult classic. So they wanted something that would, with mainstream appeal, they wanted something that they could release in Japan without editing the shit out of it.
Gotcha.
Which they had more restrictions than we did at the time. So they wound up with this, like, kind of whatever action movie. With
sci-fi action. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did see at one point it was considered that they were going to do a crossover with Underworld.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, okay, so we're, like, way off base here. We're way off base. And then Raccoon City gets bombed. Welcome to Raccoon City, the movie, bombs at the box office, even though that one was, like,
it was more faithful. But, like, so my thing about Resident Evil movies is, like, there are games that you are in it for the story. Resident Evil's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that game. Like, there is a story. There is some connective tissue there. But, like, you're in it because the gameplay is so fucking fun.
Okay.
So, gotcha. Like, what's the point in watching something that doesn't really have that much of a story?
Sure.
That's my take on it.
So make it a schlocky sci-fi action.
Right.
Horror flick.
Right. Because there isn't enough there to make a compelling, like cinema.
Sure. Cinema experience. How good would that George Romero movie would have been?
All I've heard, it was going to be so over the top gory because he's great at that. It was going to be kind of silly, but I feel like it would have been as good of a film as you could get out of the plot of Resident Evil.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. And I mean, even if it would have bombed then, which is a crazy,
it would have been a cult hit.
It would have been a cult hit.
Everything he ever made is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And just to think that, like, so that first one came out like 97, 98, I think. It was like late 90s. Just to think that, like, it was too gory then. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been probably not gory enough now.
No, totally.
You know?
Totally.
In a post-human centipede world, it would not have been. Have you got? I have not.
I haven't seen it. I know what it is. I don't need to watch
that. I don't need to watch that.
Nope.
Nope. I don't even, truth be told, never.
I don't even like eating shit. I'm sorry.
No, that's true. Fact. truth be told, I've never even seen Saw, like the original.
Saw is kind of fun.
I've seen, like, a tad bit of it, and one Halloween I'm trying to find a movie, and I stopped on it long enough to see, like, the little clip that plays on streaming, you know? And I was like, oh, this looks old enough now. Like, the film quality looks old enough now that, like, yeah, I could probably get through it. Plus, what's his face from The Princess Bride?
Yeah,
and I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I like that guy. I'll get to it eventually. But even like that, like the torture porn stuff, not for me.
No, it really isn't. That's not you know, I'm way more into like the psychological horror than the gory.
Gotcha.
Like, gore doesn't bother me necessarily, but I'm not in it for that.
But at the same time, speaking of gore, I love Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi's my favorite. I will sit through Evil Dead.
Okay.
I will sit through it. I haven't seen his newest one, that Send Help, that just came out a couple months ago. But I will watch Buckets of Blood, Sam Raimi.
That's so funny. It's like
that does help. Yeah, it does help. Especially like Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness. Uh-huh. Like it does skirt that line so well. And then there's just gobs of blood everywhere.
I like horror movies and shows that make me cry a lot. I love Shutter Island.
So
I love
Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan, yes! If I am not emotionally devastated at least one time by the end of a series, because, like, to me, that's where, like, that's what horror can do, is it can talk about this thing. It's like, it's going to get rough. We're going to get in our feels about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like Fede, I think it's Fede Alvarez is how you say his name. So he did the Evil Dead remake, mm-hmm. Don't Breathe, mm-hmm. Alien Romulus. Mm-hmm. I've liked everything I've seen that he's done. And I think he does that really well. I mean, I don't know why people dog that Evil Dead remake. That was very good. I felt very connected with all of the characters in that movie. And, like, gives an actual reason why a bunch of teens are at a cabin in the woods for no reason.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they're doing an intervention for this girl.
Right.
Like, trying to help her sober up and get clean. Like, and then the worst case possible happens. Or, like,
Worst Case Ontario.
Yeah. Or, Don't Breathe. Like, that movie is so just, like, action thriller, action thriller, mm-hmm. action thriller. And then he captures whatever her name is. She's in, like, all of Fede's movies, so. And then he captures her. And mm-hmm. then it gets so
dark. And then there's
dark.
A turkey baster.
Yeah. And then they ruined it with the second one.
They
made him the anti-hero.
I will not. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
You don't give... He's not the director of that one. He may have produced it. But I was like, no, don't give him an anti-hero. Don't give him a redemption arc.
Not unless he completely, like... He doesn't get a redemption arc where he takes care of, like, the thing he created with the... No, yeah,
no.
You just don't take... Nope.
No. All right. I think that is it. Any final anything?
I'm drunk.
Okay, we're done here. She's gonna have to stay the night now. Thank you, Pixel, for hanging out for this very long episode. What's the Instagram handle?
Page and Pixel PC. And is all spelled out.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's. And it's all spelled out is a weird sentence. The word and is spelled out.
Page, A-N-D, Pixel, PC.
That.
Mm-hmm.
We both have been drinking. You can follow this show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party or on Letterboxd Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. Literally ran out of room for one more letter. That's why it's PRTY.
Purdy.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Pass this episode along to a friend. Review this show. If you haven't yet already, please do that.
Send it to your congressman. Send it to your grandmother.
Send it to your cousin. Send it to your cousin. That's a thing Whole Church always recommends, sending the episode to your cousin.
There.
Your cousin needs to hear this. And to the Page and Pixel listeners who sat down and wondered what the hell they just got themselves into, thanks for hanging in there. But if you listen to Page and Pixel...
They're along
the ride. You're kind of used to that.
They all love me.
They do. And Paige. They love Paige. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we've delivered high-flying action, but not in 30 minutes or less, because that was the purpose of this episode, and served up some wisdom one slice at a time. Please, for the love of God, go to therapy.